This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Take a vacation from your bills, pay off credit cards, and save thousands of dollars after a simple phone call to Golden Oak Lending. Visit goldenoaklending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
Big Time Rush, performing live in concert, playing every song from every episode and more. Big Time Rush, with special guests Caitlin Tarver and Stephen Kramer Glickman. Get tickets now at LiveNation.com.
All right, let's talk about the big Mardi Gras forecast, shall we? And it's looking pretty good. I drove down all the way the Endymion Parade route this morning. I was running a little bit early, well, left early to do that. And they had a police car on Orleans Avenue, I think it was, with a spotlight, making sure nobody was camped out. And I didn't see anybody camped out, nor on St. Charles or anywhere else. But I did see, or Canal, but I did see some people that had their places spray painted on the neutral ground. Now, I don't know if anybody respects that or not, or that was maybe their own landmark to find out where they wanted to be. I don't know, but nothing's been set up. One other thing I noticed is that, I don't know if they did it or not, but it would be a good idea for Parkways and Parks Commission to make sure that nobody put anything down. Cut the grass. I saw that on the news, or maybe it was in a feverish haze while I was sick. But it's like, that's the best thing in the world. Just send the lawnmowers out there a couple hours before parade route. Ain't nobody have anything down there. If they do, either pick it up or mulch it. Anyway, highs today of 72. That seemed like a problem that would take care of itself. 73 for a high on Saturday, 64 Sunday, 72 Monday, 75 on Mardi Gras. But then a chance for showers. It's supposed to be after night into Ash Wednesday, and it'll help to clear the streets maybe. And then 75 for a high on Ash Wednesday, then it cools off a little bit. Walter Dublane joins us now, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance at my alma mater, UNO. How you doing, Walter?
Hey, good morning, Tommy.
How's everything at UNO?
Well, we've got our problems, but we're going to make it.
Yeah, good. I certainly hope so, because the school's done a lot for the community. Clancy Dubose said it built the middle class in New Orleans, and I totally agree. For those that don't know, not only is Walter an associate professor of economics and finance at UNO, he's our go-to guy when it comes to healthcare, and he's also been on a board of a hospital. So you know the way this works both theoretically and practically, right, Walter?
Yes.
Let's talk about what the Republicans are looking to do with cutting $1 trillion. This to me is kind of contradictory, because it could affect Medicaid in the state. I'll set the stage for you and then I'll turn it over. It could cut more than $1 trillion out of the federal budget. But yet the bill, when it's all said and done, will add, unless I'm reading wrong here, $11 to $16 trillion to the federal debt. Am I wrong or not?
Well, I mean, their debt's going up because they are doing some cutting of some costs, but they're also, cutting taxes.
Yeah.
And I think they're cutting taxes more than they're cutting costs. So, yes, the debt.
So on whose back is this going to be balanced, I think, is what we're talking about. Who really is going to get hurt here, if anybody, and in favor of whom? Because when it comes to, you can look at it so many different ways. You can look at it as, first of all, the healthcare aspect. You can look at it as debt and deficit, or you can look at it as stimulus to the economy and what's going to hurt and what's going to help, right? From the economic standpoint, there are a lot of different prisms.
Yeah, there's lots of different ways of looking at this. But, now again, they have talked about not touching Medicare and and Medicaid and Social Security. They've been slashing, employees, and obviously they cut down almost all the foreign aid, and they're letting people go in lots of other areas. It seems to be kind of haphazard.
So Steve Scalise, Mike Johnson, and also I think it was a local legislator, I don't know if it was Taylor Barra or the other one, I always get them confused, said that this is all fear-mongering, that it's not going to make a big difference. What do we know at this point?
Well, are we talking specifically about Medicaid?
About Medicaid in Louisiana and what they're talking about doing with this, quote, one big beautiful bill that Mike Johnson and Steve Scalise want to give to the president. What would that do to Medicaid in Louisiana?
Well, I haven't seen much about the Medicaid part of it. I mean, the big beautiful bill is that as what the Senate was going to be doing, and then what Trump is pushing through Representative Johnson, was to say that they wanted to include all the, he wants to keep the tax cuts that are due to expire and tie it in with all the other things that they're doing, and then put one big bill together that cuts a lot of programs and things of that sort. But I hadn't seen them talking much about Medicaid specifically.
Okay, well, I'm looking at a story here. Medicaid cuts that are being discussed by think tanks in Washington without a doubt would harm our ability to provide life-saving care for Medicaid patients across Louisiana. That from the Vice President for Government Affairs at the Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady of Health System. Okay. Other people are talking about it, and I've had people on.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Before I got sick earlier this week, saying that it would, you know, cut $20 billion out of the budget, I think, of Louisiana. And talk about, if you will, the Medicaid money, I guess, dubbed that the state gets in exchange for what we put up.
Okay. Well, again, any cuts to Medicaid would affect Louisiana more than any place else, because we have a greater percentage of our population on Medicaid than any other state. So any effects, any cuts on Medicaid will have a big effect on Louisiana. But let me remind everybody about the two versions of Medicaid. Before John Bel Edwards, the Medicaid program in Louisiana covered very, very few people, only if you were well below the poverty line and you were either pregnant or had dependent children, which is mostly women with dependent children. Those were the only people that were on Medicaid, very small bunch of people. And then John Bel Edwards did the Obamacare extension to Medicaid, which moved it up to anybody that it's below 138% of the federal poverty line, which for a family of four, that's about $35,000-$36,000. So the Medicaid population in Louisiana increased by 500,000 on that first day. And so now we have a whole lot of people in Medicaid. The other part of it that's important is that the old Medicaid, before the recap,
before Obamacare and the expansion, yeah, the only people that got Medicaid were?
Then it's not only were there few people on it, but the federal government paid for about two-thirds of the Medicaid, and the state paid for the other third.
Okay.
Of everybody that was added later, which is the vast majority of them, the federal government pays for 90% of the cost, and the state 10%. So for every dollar we spend, and when you average those together, we're about at 85% of the cost comes from the federal government. So for every buck that we spend out of the state budget, the federal government kicks in about $9.
All right, let me go back real quick before we take a break. Before the expansion, who got Medicaid?
Only pregnant women and women with dependent children who had very, very low incomes.
And pregnant women who had low income, right, or not?
Right. You had to have a low income, but they were pretty generous with pregnant women in terms of their what what the standard was. And also, I'm sorry, children, that we had a pretty good program for children, even though the parents may not be on Medicaid, the children were.
Okay, let me take a break.
Fairly below, I think it was 200% of the federal poverty line, the children could be on Medicaid.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back, because let's go back to before the expansion. State was paying for a third, feds were paying for two-thirds. But what was happening, too, because nothing's free, to the people that were below family of four making $35,000 or less, below that 138% of the poverty line, whatever it was, where would they go for medical care? Were they getting sick? Were they dying? Were they going to emergency rooms? And were we paying for it in one way or the other? You can take us through that when we return. Walter Dublin, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance at UNO, 622 Traffic Now, WWL. Hi, 627, Tommy Tucker, WWL, trying to understand what's going on with Medicaid and some proposed cuts. Dublin, our guest, Associate Professor of Economics and Finance at UNO, our healthcare go-to guy, studied it from the economic standpoint, also on the board of a hospital, so he knows how it actually works. So, Dub, when it comes to the Medicaid expansion, what was happening to the people before, because nothing's free, right? Ultimately, when you there are trade-offs in economics and there are costs that are shifted, et cetera. The people that were below, that were not eligible for Medicaid before the expansion of Obamacare under John Bel Edwards, what was happening to them? Were they dying? Were they going to emergency rooms?
Well,
Who was paying for that?
They didn't have insurance. Right. Let me give you some idea. The percentage at the hospital that I, the numbers I know about, before the Medicaid rollout, about 8% of all of the people that came to the hospital had no insurance. After the Medicaid rollout, that number reduced well below 2%. So most of those people went to the hospital, went to the emergency room without insurance. Now,
and who paid for that?
So people do get treated at the emergency room, but they really weren't getting primary care. Now, there are some other free clinics and things like that, mm-hmm, that people can go to. But the key thing is there's a big hunk of people, hundreds of thousands in Louisiana, that did not have insurance before Obamacare.
And who paid for that? Because they did get health care, right?
Well, the hospital care was obviously just spread out among the other payers, people that had insurance. There were some government, programs to help subsidize the hospital a little bit for some of those type of things, some block grants and things of that sort. But for the most part, the doctors pretty much, they didn't go to the doctor. So, if they came to the emergency room, they would get some treatment. But doctors pretty much, unless they had these free clinics, they just didn't get much care. And that was really a problem, because when they did come get sick, because they hadn't had any screening or anything like that for the time, when they would actually come in, they would have what we call multiple comorbidities. I mean, they would have a whole bunch of different illnesses, which made them very, very expensive to treat. So the care of the people was much poorer. So this Medicaid rolled out, it's not that it's great, but it's a whole lot better than it was.
The only point I'm trying to get to is when we talk about saving money to society, forget the human aspects of it, the trying to help the people that need help. Forget all that. Just look at the economics of it. You can move money from bucket to bucket. It's kind of like three-card Monty, right? But at some point, we're going to pay for it one way or the other. And if people don't get well healthcare treatment, then it leads to the comorbidities, which is probably the most expensive medical care you can provide. Is that accurate or not?
Yeah. And in fact, I saw a study once that said we're spending more money as a society, where it came from of various sources, on people that were uninsured with actual care that we were providing than most countries did on those people who were insured. Because, again, when they were coming in, they would be very, very sick and they had very expensive care. They weren't getting any preventative care, any routine care, things of that sort.
Just trying to keep it real. Thank you, Dub. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon. Have a nice Mardi Gras. We'll take a break. When we come back, I'm going to blow the lid off of the Giacomo Finanè mystery. And we'll also talk to Arthur Hardy right now. Time for WWL First News.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.